Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back, Droid Life Show. Today, episode 201. It is Friday, April 26th. I'm Ariel Skellen. With me, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Tim here.
So, welcome back to our favorite day of the week, Friday. Mostly just because we do the Droid Life Show with all of you. So, on today's show, some fun topics. Mostly, we're going to just talk about the Galaxy Fold and the whole debacle that has unfolded over the past 2 weeks. But there's OnePlus 7 news coming out. We now have a date. The names are confirmed. We know some of the specs and things like that. The Pixel 3a, we know when that's coming. There's 5G talk all over. So we've got some good topics. Of course, we have trivia. Trivia back once again. And sponsor this week is the fine folks from Plex. That's P-L-E-X. If you don't know what Plex is, it is a media streaming... It's not really like a media streaming service. It's like a media streaming server service, if that makes sense. If you have a bunch of media, like offline movies and a whole music catalog and a bunch of photos and all of that stuff, they will host all of that for you so that you can access it like everywhere on every TV or phone and whatever. It's awesome. I used to use it all the time. I just don't necessarily have that offline like grouping of stuff anymore. But when I did, it was... absolutely fantastic. So we're giving away lifetime passes to Plex Premium, $119 value.
Five of them
to all trivia winners. So if you're new to the show, we do trivia at the end of the show. Five questions, five winners. It's a fabulous time, but we'll run through the topic. So if you are new, stick around. We'll give away some Plex passes for life.
That's kind of that's a pretty darn good prize, I do say so.
Yeah, I think normally it's like $4 or $5 a month. $40 a year, and then we're just giving you the lifetime one. So $120, never pay for another one again.
That's pretty good.
Can't really beat that. All right, anyway, so topics for... Actually, before we could go, Jordan Shepard just dropped $2 in the chat, said, love the show. Flex with Plex. Well, thank you, Jordan.
Flex with Plex. Nice. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you so much for the $2. So let's talk Galaxy Fold. It's obviously the topic of the moment right now. So Galaxy Fold was first announced back in February. Samsung had been teasing it for how many years have they been talking about folding phones or working on and curved displays and flexible displays and all this stuff. Eventually led up to February and they showed it off at the Galaxy S10 event. They said, look, here it is. Well, I should say they first showed it off at their developer conference in a big case and then they unveiled the full thing. They didn't let anyone touch it at that time. They said, look, it's coming April 26th. But here it is on stage. These are all the cool things it does. It unfolds and it's tablet and there's continuity from the front to the middle screen and all this stuff, right? And we all went, ooh. And then they said it's $2,000 or $1,960. Which one is it? 80?
1980.
So 1980. It's coming to T-Mobile and AT&T. And they were going to open up pre-orders and whatever. And again, they didn't let anyone touch it. So a month goes by. No one's still really seen it. And then... what, 2 weeks ago, they opened pre-orders for it. And they opened pre-orders for it, and it sells out, like, within a few hours. In a bunch of colors, whatever. We don't know how many they had. We don't know if they sold 520,000 of that. We have no idea, right? But they sold out all these colors and all of this stuff right away for T-Mobile, AT&T. We put in a pre-order, and at that same time, some review units went in the hands of a pretty limited group of tech journalists. So The Verge, I think, had the first one. And then after that, there was like a second wave of people that got their hands on it and stuff. So it's out there. We have ours on pre-order. It's getting ready to ship today. Like, we should have it today. Obviously, if you're watching the show or listening, you know that, I mean, we don't have one. We don't have a Galaxy Fold. So what, 3 days into the device being in the hands of a handful of tech press, The Verge writes this story and says, ours broke. And we're like, okay, well, that's not good. We've got a broken one, and we're like 2 days in. And they write the story up, and they said, like, something got under the display, they think. And they showed this little bulge, and it actually punctured, like, the display a little bit, sent some lines through the display. Not good. Like, within, what, 2 minutes of them writing that story, CNBC and Bloomberg both say, wait, ours are messed up too. Ours are dead too. And then right after that, MKBHD, Marques Brownlee goes, yeah, I had a problem with mine too, and Samsung already replaced it. Everyone's going, wait, what's going on? Since then, I think there's been at least one, maybe two. I think Michael Fisher, His is busted. I think he got something under his display. Michael Fisher, what's his name? Mr. Mobile.
Mr. Mobile.
Yeah, his YouTube channel is Mr. Mobile. So his got something maybe similar to the Verge, a little something under the display. So they start breaking, and they're all kind of different. Two of them get something under the display, breaks it. Bloomberg and Marques Brownlee's were... They ripped a protective film off of the inside screen of theirs, which apparently on these review units wasn't labeled. It didn't really say, don't take this off. They all looked at it as a screen protector, ripped it off. That did damage to the display. So those are kind of self-inflicted, but also Samsung probably should have done a better job of telling them, like, please don't do this. For CNBC, their unit, they said they were just using it, and it just... the inside display panels basically just stopped working together and functioning, and they were flickering. So we've got multiple things going on, right? Samsung then pauses the rollout and says, look, we're gonna look into this stuff. They don't give us a date. AT&T then kind of sends some emails to people and says, look, like June, we're changing your date to. And so then people report on this June date. And again, remember, it was supposed to be out today. So June's like 2 months from now. And then AT&T all of a sudden wipes that date out and says, no, we don't actually have a date. And Samsung says, no, there's actually no date yet. And then iFixit does a teardown of this thing. This was this week. So all that happened last week. This week, iFixit does a teardown. And they say, basically, this thing is bad. I'm putting words in their mouth. I guess this is the way I looked at what they reported. They said, look, like, there's all sorts of spaces for things to get inside of this display or this device. There's like a little hole. When you unfold it, there's basically like a little hole, and they stuck like one of their picks in it, right? And they were like, look, there's like a hole here. Things could get in there. In the hinge design, there's basically two slits on each side of like where the thing folds together, where things could get in. And so we've had two devices broken because like, a piece of sand, a piece of lint, a piece of putty or something got in behind there that then broke two displays. So iFixit then, what, it's been a couple of days, and was it last night or yesterday? They pulled their teardown. And they said Samsung didn't ask us to, but whoever we got the phone from, the partner is what they called it, Samsung asked the partner to ask us to tell it down or something, take it down or something like that. So their teardown's gone. Samsung is like back in the lab. We've got at least 4, 5, 6 now broken Galaxy Folds for different reasons. And these are only in reviewers' hands. A select, like, I don't know how many. What do you think? Maybe there's 50?
Tops.
Yeah, like maybe 50 in reviewers' hands, and we've got 6 dead. A couple user error, some not. That is a terrible percentage. And again, this is a $2,000 phone. So, like, I think the thing is, like, where do we go from here? I think they should cancel this thing. I think it's done. I think this version... it's just like done. I think they should 100% delay the Galaxy Fold and bring it back. Like, bring it back with a note or something. Like, take like 3 months.
Oh, like, take your time with
fix.
It.
Yes.
Yeah, if that's even possible, if there's a way to actually kind of... I mean, if the problem turns out to be... So there was two things, though, right? So you've got the... You can't pull off the screen protector because it's basically going to peel the display away from the body itself. And then you have the ingress nightmare. That is, there are holes everywhere and slits where things can get into. Can you patch those things, you know, so they aren't a problem without changing the design to where it, like, doesn't even work? I mean, we assume that the thing was built the way it is because that's the way it works. That's the way the engineers right. designed it to be, and there's no real way to fix that.
Right.
And if that's the case, then you don't just, you know, delay for a few months and wait to see if you can change it. You've got to, like, start from scratch and find a way to fix those problems. You know, of course, there's no transparency, right? Because I think Samsung's more worried about competitors like Huawei or anyone else who's possibly
working. To be first.
Sure, you're trying to be first, but you also want to protect your IP
yeah.
and your design and all that. And so when iFixit is out here, like, oh, look at that, like... break, you know, tearing it apart and basically, you know, showing the competition like what's up, maybe that's not good. That way Huawei can say, okay, here's their problem, let's make sure ours doesn't have the same problem, etc. Like there, so there's a few sides to it.
Yeah,
and of course you want to be first, but damn, like you don't want to be first just to have it like fall apart in people's hands and then have like this whole separate PR nightmare. So I'm kind of with you. I say hold off, you know, don't rush it.
It is not worth it, right?
It's not worth being first. Especially like we're talking about professionals, professional tech journalism, yeah, bloggers, who this thing is breaking on. Get this into the hands of your average early adopter, right? And this thing could be breaking all over the place. And yeah, so I say, like you, be patient, take your time, Samsung. Like no one's gonna hate on you. You know, you tried.
Try again. It
ain't working. Just go back to the drawing board, fix the problem. Make sure it's a good phone, especially at $2,000. I mean, you don't want this kind of problem.
No.
So
you don't want customers, even if it's a limited number of customers, spending $2,000 on this thing and then having like within 3 days their $2,000 phone, the display just stops working.
It's unacceptable.
You cannot sell. And look, the problem is that there's holes all over this thing, right? Like, so number one, the display is obviously incredibly fragile. And then there's holes everywhere. So like stuff is like, and we're talking like moving parts. Like you throw a hinge on something, one little piece of grain in there is just going to keep wiggling its way in that hinge up to the front, crack. So yeah, they have to figure out a way to get rid of that hole. Is it on the bottom? The hole that iFixit show when it's unfold? Yeah, there's like a giant hole on the bottom. So if that thing's in your pocket, you just shouldn't put it in your pocket, I guess.
I guess so.
You're going to get something in there. You'd hesitate to set it down anywhere. And we already kind of do that with our phones. But this thing, like, I mean, there's no water protection for one. So you're not going to want anywhere near that. It's a $2,000 phone that's like a tablet that you kind of don't really want to take anywhere with you. You almost want to leave it at home in a protected environment away from everything. Because if you start bringing this thing around, I mean, if you throw it in a bag, like a little, you got some little dirt in a bag or something, something stick. I mean, like, there's so many opportunities in a day.
Don't take it to the beach.
You certainly can't take it to the beach. you're not going to take it to the gym because you can't be sweating on this thing. I mean, there's just, like, I don't know where you would take this. And it's $2,000, so we're talking, like, a serious investment in a piece of technology that you're worried to take anywhere. And on top of that, the holes, the screen is, while we know it's plastic and we knew it was going to be soft, it is apparently the softest thing ever. Like in the Verge's like early review, or I should say in the write-up when they talked about how theirs was broken, they showed some angles. And again, tech reviewer who's probably doing their best to take care of this thing because it's not theirs. There was two or three pretty significant dings in the display on theirs. 2 or 3 days. So for sure, your kid's never going to touch this thing, right? You keep it out of their hands. Anyone who doesn't understand that it's a soft plastic display, I mean, they just bump that thing once with a key and you might have a ding in there that you may never recover from. So
it's too dangerous of a product to use.
It is, though. And so that's
how do you insure something like that?
I have no idea. And so I'm thinking to myself, all right, Samsung. And by the way, I want this thing. Like, I want one on my desk, right? I want to play with this thing. I want to probably laugh at how terrible it is when it breaks on me in 3 days. But, like, I want to see this. Like, this is the stuff that we like to play with, this brand new design, idea, whatever. But, like, I'm this close to canceling our pre-order because I'm going, well, first of all, well, I don't know if I'll ever get one anyway at this point. But sure, we're going to get this thing in, and it's going to break on us. Like, it just... I don't see any way that these things are going to last more than, I don't know, a couple months at the most. If you really baby this thing, all it takes is one little slip up and you're going to ding that. So Samsung has got to deal with holes in it. They got to deal with the easy damage that's going to be done to the display. Obviously, the $2,000 price tag, there's no way this is worth sending out. Because not only if you get a bunch in the hands, if we start getting a really high fail rate, the version 2, why is anyone going to buy version 2? Like, why are you going to keep coming back? If version 1 is this bad, which it certainly doesn't seem great, how do you not just go, all right, guys, we're just going to shelve it and improve everything and we'll come back? I don't know how you don't do that.
I have a hard time believing Samsung never came across this issue before they shipped units out, man. Right. You know, like, do we point the finger at their quality assurance people? Who's doing the testing there? We saw them.
Tim, they folded it like 200,000 times.
I was going to say, we saw them fold the thing. Like, sure, you could fold it, but what else, you know, what other problems may arise? It blows my mind, and I'm like super surprised. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a leak, like Samsung knew this was gonna happen, but they wanted to be first. You know, like it's always a rush to be first. Being first sucks. Like, you got this problem, this whole 5G first nonsense, AT&T out here getting sued. Like, it's not worth being first. So
many
I don't
times
know
it's not, yeah.
Take your time, like, make a good product first. Make a good product, please.
Yeah, I don't have a problem if Samsung comes out tomorrow and goes, look, guys, it's gonna be like 3 or 4 more months. We want to make sure we get this right, rather than because when all this stuff first happened, their immediate response was, we're good to go. April 26th, we're good to go. First couple of days, and then by the weekend, so last weekend, that kind of flipped a little bit. They had a couple of events in, like, one was in Taiwan and one was, I can't remember where the other ones, but they had like two media events planned, and like on Saturday or Sunday, reports started coming out. They had canceled those, and then I think on it was Monday, I think they officially delayed it and canceled some other stuff and things like that. But like, it took them a week, and at first they were ready to go, and then a week after they got a couple of these and went, oh yeah, that's kind of a problem. There's holes in our phone.
Yeah, you know, and what sucks is, because I'm with you, like, I want to get one in hand. Like, yeah. I could see folding phones, you know, having their place in the market in the future. Absolutely. It just sucks that now that this is our first example of one coming to market. Yeah. And that hurts, I think, the genre in general of folding phones, if this is like our first example. So I want to say to Huawei, Samsung, whoever, you know, keep trying, don't give up, but just know that Droid Life will be here to not like kick you while you're down and say, we told you so, we told you, you know. But we're looking forward to it. But
I really want one in house. They tried something totally new, and I know other people are trying this too, but this is the stuff that's just fun to play with, right? You get something new, you play with it, I'll baby it for a little while. But I don't think this is, first of all, I kind of don't think we will ever see the version that all these reviewers had. I don't think we'll ever see it again. I do not see how on earth they can ship a thing that within a couple of days, a bunch of reviewers who are probably taking care of it, it breaks on that. And they know what, these people know what they're doing. This isn't just like your average rich dude who spent $2,000 on a phone who's like, look at this cool gadget I got, because that dude, it's going to break on. These are tech reviewers who are supposed to know what's going on, and it's breaking on them from just using it. Like CNBC was like, I just unfolded it and folded it, and then it just stopped working. So, and I know that these things happen, but that's a pretty high failure rate with such a limited number in the wild.
I mean, we know Samsung's got a track record of like having these PR mishaps, and you know, I think it's how they handle it. I'm not a fan of them asking iFixit to take down their little teardown, and that's what iFixit does. They point out the flaws if there are any, and I know we as consumers appreciate it. Yeah. I'm all for hashtag right to repair and all that, but you know, like, I don't know, just, I wish there was more transparency. That's all. More transparency on the part of the OEM. Just like, hey, here's what, and I'm sure we're going to get that same thing that happened with the Note 7. Possibly. There's going to be a report if this phone releases.
The report, so, yeah.
Yeah, if this phone is fixed. Yeah. If this phone does launch, they're going to be like, here's what we discovered. Here's maybe how we improved it to ensure that's not going to happen. The problem is there are so many issues with this current design, the soft display, the holes, etc. How do you go from here? Because it's going to release, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, what did they change from this to that? And we're going to say, well, there's still this problem. They didn't address it. Don't buy it. Maybe you just cancel it. I might just say cancel it now, unless you can fix everything. But
yeah. And we didn't even mention that, like, the bezel that's around the inside of the big display. Like, iFixit and their teardown, they basically just put, like, a fingernail under it and lifted it off. Like the bezel, they have this picture of them.
Oh, the bezel is embarrassing.
Yeah, they just like lifted it. It had a little adhesive on it, just lifted it right off. So
only covers about 2 millimeters of display. I mean, so the thing, like, sure, you've got the adhesive in there, but that is such a fragile device. Yeah. I mean, you could see it in the video that they put up. You can see it in the pictures. Very, very fragile device. And that's like, for $2,000, you wish. And especially with like the hardware that Samsung puts out right now, the Galaxy S10 Plus, the S10, this is like their best hardware ever. And you go from this super sturdy, ultra premium to a flimsy Galaxy Fold. It sucks.
It just doesn't seem worth it for them to do it. Like, yeah. Just take some time. Get it right.
What, you think this is bad? Wait for the Huawei phone to come, dude. You know, I'm sure because it's a completely different design, yeah. It's a different type of hinge, it's going to have its own set of problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the only reason I think we're getting to this now, even though there was like the Royale Flex Pie or whatever, is because no one cared about that ugly thing. No. So we're just getting started on the problems with foldable phones, but we're going to get there one day.
Yeah, and I think it's good that we're getting, like, Samsung putting this out and then quickly finding out some serious issues they have with the device. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Now they can hopefully go fix them. But this one, they should probably not actually sell to another human being, I don't think. I just don't think that's a good idea. Go improve it. Make foldables the future. That's totally fine. I'm totally fine with foldable in the future of foldables. Mm-hmm. This one, probably not so much.
I guess so. Someone made a fantastic point. Majhatasal? Sorry if I'm not pronouncing your name correctly. He said Samsung doesn't need another recall situation. Can't lie, they got lucky after the Note 7. You know what, man? They kind of did get lucky. You had the FAA and everyone, the TSA, like, hands up! Is that a Note 7? It was
a crime to bring one on a plane, I think.
Yeah, man.
Every single flight warned you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a good look. Like, you want to talk about PR nightmares. I don't know if it gets much worse than that. So, no, I mean, Samsung, they're lucky to find themselves in a position where we're still praising them for making fantastic phones after one tried to kill us. So,
that's correct.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So Thank you to everyone who's talking about my hair, by the way. I did it just for y'all.
Tim has hair. Everyone's like, Tim has hair? Tim does have hair.
Well, you know, I never used to. I've always had it super short buzz cut, but thankfully those winter months and I always wear a hat, you can get over that awkward phase where you're like no hair to hair. Now I've got long, lustrous hair. Anyway.
Pretty funny. Yeah. So I don't know where we go from here with Galaxy Fold. We're kind of just waiting at this point. Like, we have a pre-order in. They emailed us the day they announced the delay and it said, look, we delayed. And then I actually got a call from Samsung support, which was weird, a couple days later. And they were like, hey, just so you know, this thing is delayed. And I was like, yeah, I know. You sent me an email. You know, they don't know who I am. But I was like, yeah, I know. And they said, like,
they don't know who I am. Oh,
well, I'm just saying they don't know that I'm like a tech guy is what I mean. Like, I'm a tech reviewer. They just think, sure, I'm just a normal consumer is what I mean. So I was like, yeah, no, I know you emailed me about that. And they said, and they ran through like, yeah, we'll let you know. We'll update you in a couple weeks is what they said on the phone. And they said, do you have any questions? And I was like, well, no. Like, well, what, you just told me it's delayed. So anyways, we'll just kind of keep an eye out to see if there is an update on like this version of the Galaxy Fold. But
it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if this thing is gone and they really have to go fix it. I mean, they might have some modifications already ready, but they got to run those through the manufacturing line. They got to test those. They got to fold those 200,000. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff they have to do if they're going to modify these. So,
well, let us remind everyone that the phone was ready to ship. So they've got boxes of these phones that are ready to go. I'm assuming they got to open up these boxes. Like, say they were just going to like, okay, we got to at least put a sticker on here that says don't take off the protective display. Right. Such a process to recall those who I'm assuming were already in the U.S. You got to send those back to China, open them up or wherever they're being made and slap some stickers on them. There's so much work that's going to go into this situation. It's going to cost a ton. Yeah. But thankfully, Samsung's made a cache.
Yeah.
They got a little back bit, it up got into the driveway, folks. There you go. Sure. Yeah. So
yeah, well, we'll keep you guys updated. Again, I hope I get one in-house so we can play with it.
Fingers crossed.
Before we move on, John dropped 20, is that Swedish krona?
You got it, coach.
I looked it up. Thank you, John, for that, for the 20 Swedish krona. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Brady dropped $5, said you guys rock. Thank you, Brady.
And thank you, Straight Up Tea, sort of sweet, all natural flavors, super refreshing.
That sounds refreshing. I actually don't like tea at all.
Wow, okay.
I'm an ultimate tea hater.
You didn't even know what an Arnold Palmer was, right? That was you?
No, I asked you if you got it with booze, I think, and you were like,
oh,
no.
Okay. Nah.
Not really a fan of the tea.
Okay.
Okay, but let's move on, though. So, Galaxy Fold, that's out of the, let's just forget about that for a while. If there's news, we'll let you know. OnePlus 7, though, is for sure coming very soon. So, OnePlus announced that May 14th is the day that their next phones will arrive. So, OnePlus has confirmed that they have two phones on the way. OnePlus 7 and the OnePlus 7 Pro.
Not a fan of this.
You're not a fan of the two things. So, what they've said, I'll let you come back to that.
Sure.
What they've said is a couple of things. The 7, they didn't really talk that much about. The Pro, though, they said, like, the display is some, like, breakthrough. I think, quote, breakthrough. Some breakthrough there. It's probably Quad HD, which would be a first for them. They're always 1080p. Which has been fine, but they've done something with the display that they think is going to be unreal. Yes, a breakthrough of some sort. that said, it'll have three cameras. The Pro, we don't know about the regular one, but the renders we've seen, probably just two. There will be 5G in at least one of the OnePlus 7 models. I don't know if that'll be here. I think it's like a European. I think they said like a year ago that it'll be a European thing. Like the 5G. Anyway, don't care about 5G anyway for the next like 4 years. But so they confirmed that there's two phones. We know the Pro is going to be their most expensive phone ever, probably in the Samsung Galaxy S10, iPhone XS arena. So OnePlus no longer the budget company that you all fell in love with early on. I'm actually looking at the pricing chart right now here of history that we keep running. The OnePlus One started at $299. Which is the OnePlus 6T, which was their newest phone, started at $549. So the prices have gone up since the original. So two phones, May 14th, a Pro, a non-Pro. The Pro, from what we've seen from renders, shows triple camera on the back, full display with no notch, no punch out, and like a little flippy pop-up camera thing for the selfies. The regular 7 kind of just looks like a 6T, mostly. It has like a little baby teardrop notch, I think. I'm sure they'll be great. They're just going to be, you know.
Wrong.
More expensive.
Yeah, the problem is, you know, it's not the display. No one's been talking about, ooh, OnePlus, fix your display. That's not what anyone's talking about. We want a better camera.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be charging some serious coin... we want something in return. If you're going to be charging those iPhone, Samsung prices, give us an Apple, Samsung comparable camera experience. So if the Pro's got three cameras, you know, I've made this argument for a long time. Google was dominating the camera space. Still is, some could argue, with the Pixel 3, Pixel 3 XL. Single camera, one camera. Takes phenomenal pictures, even in that low light. Now OnePlus, oh, throw on more cameras for maybe wide angle or super telephoto. Who cares?
Who cares?
I just want one camera that takes really good pictures.
Yeah.
Also, this whole dual phone thing, maybe one's budget. You got the Pro up there with the big boys. F all that. The problem is, it's so later this year when OnePlus says it's patented OnePlus 7 Pro T. I'm going to call it the Protein, the OnePlus Protein. I think it's probably going to be even more expensive. And
do you think they're going to do that this year? We'll get now they're going to give us two phones to start the year, and we'll get two more? You think they'll do that? Four phones in a year from OnePlus?
Maybe three. I mean, I expect there to be a T, but I don't know if there's going to be like... What, are you thinking like a budget T?
I don't know. Yeah, what do they do there? Do they just go...
They Pro out the regular 7
they just T up the Pro, not the little guy?
I don't know. I've always been very so what I will say, unless the 7 Pro is exactly what someone's been hoping for in a OnePlus device and they want to buy it, go for it. However, never buy these first OnePlus phones in the year, man. Just wait. Just be patient. Wait for that protein, and because you know it's got to be coming, right? So And we'll know soon enough. I mean, it's always soon after that these OnePlus phones launch that we start hearing rumors about the T and the next one coming. So be patient. If you're a OnePlus fan, just hold off. Hold off for that second half of the year, see what comes.
How do you feel about spending like $750, $800 on a OnePlus phone?
Pisses me off.
Because that's what we're talking about. I mean, what the S10e starts at $750. So the S10 is what, $900, I think? So
yeah.
I'm going on the lower end there. Like, do you think this is going to be, this Pro will be $750 or is it going to be $800, $900 bucks?
I don't know. You know, it's hard to say because I feel like, you know, OnePlus is, you know, at their heart, I think they want to be competitive in terms of pricing just to get it in there. I think what helps is that they're going to be available through a U.S. carrier like T-Mobile who can sort of offset that cost a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, get it through a payment plan, whatever. So I'm not overly concerned about the pricing. It's just upsetting that we've gotten so far away from what the company used to value, which was bringing the really good specs. Finding ways to kind of, I don't want to say cut corners, but find a way to make a really good phone at a less costly price. Something that was really gettable or obtainable by anyone who wanted it. So we've gone a long way from there. It seems like every phone company can make an expensive phone. You know, make a really good phone for less money. That's impressive. That's innovative. So
that's different. And a CEO, everything the same. OnePlus stood out because they gave you this package of specs that rivaled competitors. And sure, the camera was kind of one of the only things we complained about. Some would complain about maybe the 1080p display and the no wireless charging. But for the most part, it was like it was like 95% of the package that Samsung was giving you, except it was $300 less. And even with the 6T at $550, they were, even though that price has just creeped up. You were still there. I mean, the base 6T for $550 was still 128 gig storage and 6 gig RAM. The Pixel 3 small one was 64 gig and 4 gig RAM, started at what, $700 or something like that? Yeah. So you, even from Google, you were getting an improvement in specs in many ways and similar software, and it was still like $250 or whatever less. So you were there. So the Pro's going to be, I don't know if it'll be a tough sell. People like OnePlus phones, but it just changes kind of, I think, our view of them if they go, well, here's a $750, $800 phone when we're so used to paying even $550.
Why are we even bothering with this like standard OnePlus 7 and 7 Pro? Just have one, man. You know, like have it be in the middle. If you don't want, you know, if that makes sense, like just combine the two, put it somewhere in the middle. Like, you know, we obviously don't know the difference yet between the Pro and the 7. All we know is that one will have three cameras, blah, blah, blah. So we don't quite yet know what differentiates these two. I imagine it can't be all that much. So I'm not a huge fan of there being two variants. I've always not really felt that, especially when OnePlus always likes to one-up themselves, like 4 months down the road and piss off anyone who bought the first one in, you know, the part of the year.
Yes.
So we'll see. We got a launch event coming up real soon, mid-May. So we're going to know real soon. And I'm sure more details are going to leak as we get closer to that. So we'll be back here in a couple of weeks talking about it again. So,
popping up cameras, hopefully on screen.
Kind of dope. I mean, like, see that, like that type of stuff, like it doesn't,
It's different.
It doesn't bug me whatsoever. I hardly use a selfie. I'm back into Snapchat now just because like they got funny filters on there. But like other than that, I never use the selfie camera. No. So
I actually like pop-up selfie cameras because I don't use selfie cameras. So then if we go all display, which this thing's going to have, I have all display. There's no notch. There's no punch out. It's just a full display. And then if I need to, I'll pop the thing up once a week or whatever.
Yeah, if you need it, it's there. At least it's not like the S10, right? So the S10 in this like hole punch, it's always part of my life. Yes. You know, I can't hide that.
No.
At least on the OnePlus, if I don't use the selfie camera, I can just hide it and it's not there. So that's cool. It's a cool design. Thank you, Oppo.
Yeah, thank you, Oppo is right. So I'm excited to get their phones in hand because their phones are always good. We've given their phones phone of the year like two or three times. I think we like their phones.
We like OnePlus.
A lot of that had to do with the value in what you get. So let's see what they do. I guess, is kind of where we're at now. Let's see how good this Pro is if they want to finally go head-to-head with Samsung and Google and Huawei and whoever else, because that's what they're doing at that price point. So we'll see. We'll see.
There's like a couple of things that bug me still. I saw someone mention, so I don't know, do we know any details about what makes this display different? Are we talking like a better refresh rate?
I think we're hoping it's like 90
hertz. Yeah. That's not even that cool. Razer's been out here for 2 years at 120 hertz. Yeah. So 90 hertz, that don't impress me much.
Didn't Asus do like a 90 already also with one of their gaming phones? The ROG phone.
Yeah.
So yeah, that neither of those is new. That's been around for a couple years. So
are they up in the res too? Like Brian Eber in the chat says 2K. Wow. Okay. So okay, finally the Pro may have quad HD at 90 hertz. I guess I'm kind of
if
excited.
It's quad HD and 90 hertz, I'm cool. Like, that's cool. That's an improvement over what they've done. I mean, they've basically used the same 1080p AMOLED panel for like 4 years straight. And I have no problem with their panel. I think one of the things they need to deal with is the touch latency, which has always been awful on their phones. Like, if you want to do a breakthrough, fix that first, because it's never been any good on their phones.
Yeah, Brandon Fisher makes a point, not one that I share, but he makes his own. He says, who cares about refresh rates? Bruh. You need to go go to your local Best Buy. I don't know where they sell Razer Phone 2s or anything like that. Go check out a Razer Phone 2. Make sure you got the 120 hertz refresh rate enabled. And just look at how smooth Android is. Finally, after a decade of slow and jankiness, Android is smooth at 120 hertz. And it also has, 8 gigs of RAM or something? So you got to have a lot of RAM and a great refresh rate. And Android feels really, really special at that point. So 90, while it's not 120, that's still better than that standard 60 we've had for years now. Yeah. So I'm cool with 90 and quad HD from OnePlus, finally. Anyway.
Eli says, guys, we basically know everything, just not the exact price. I get what you're saying, but OnePlus phones, every year they nail every checkbox on the spec list, and then the camera's not great, or something else is off, or so I know what you're saying. What we're saying is they got to do something in hand to prove that these phones are where Samsung and Google and Huawei and Apple are. That's all.
Brandon says, I didn't sell it. Dude, I mean, I'm not here to sell anything. I'm just saying it's a higher refresh rate is nice. Yeah. That's all.
God. All right, so OnePlus 7, 7 Pro, May 14th. They're having an event in NYC. If anyone wants to go, you can buy tickets to it. I think they're $20 today, and I think tomorrow they might go up to $30. And if you think that's weird that they sell tickets to their events, which is a little weird, they do give away a bunch of free stuff with that purchase, which they usually say covers the price and then some. A lot of times they let you get in early on pre-orders and stuff if you go. So it is weird that they charge for their events, but they give you stuff. So anyways, that's in NYC if you're out
there. Might get a backpack, and as everyone knows, OnePlus has the best backpacks.
They do make nice backpacks. They are, and as many backpacks as I own, I do not own a OnePlus. Actually, I think I did. I think I gave it away.
Yeah, I have one. My girlfriend stole it. She loves it.
Yeah, I did have one, and I gave it to someone. I don't even know who the hell I gave it to. I wonder how that happened. Why would I do that? They actually have their newest bag out, which I think is still invite only.
Oh.
And I kind of want one because I have 8,000 backpacks, but I'm not gonna go out of my way to find somebody on the OnePlus forums to invite me.
You just ask them, be like, "Hey man, can I review your new backpack?"
I guess I could, which would be really weird because I would never review a backpack. Let's switch over to Google Talk. So Google Pixel 3A and Pixel 3A XL, not good names, by the way. These are the long rumored mid-range Google Pixel phones. I think the first rumor we had about a mid-range Pixel phone was the beginning of last year. I swear it was the beginning of 2008 we heard about a mid-range phone.
Yeah.
We never did get one. We think we're going to get one at the first day of Google I.O. So Google announced before I go on, there was some donations. So let me catch up on donations. Scott with $1 and another dollar. That's $2, Scott. $2 from Brett. $2 from Jason Pro, 20 from Big Bomb Dono Dunn.
He's back.
He's back again. So that was Scott for two, Brett for a dollar, Jason Pro for two, and Big Bomb Dono Dunn back with a 20. Thank you guys for the support. Really, really appreciate that.
I'm quivering because this guy's pure alpha male, and I'm just you know, like every time he comes in the room, I freeze up a little bit because I don't know how to handle all that. Thank you, Don. That's very like kind.
Three shows in a row. Thank you, Don. Really appreciate that. Anyway, back on my Google talk. So Pixel 3a, Google said May 7th, we have something new to add to the Pixel line. We all just assume it's Pixel 3a, 3a XL. So the 3a has leaked in a couple of renders. Well, I should say the 3a started leaking back in November of last year when the Russians got a hold of it. This week, EvLeaks posted two different renders, one of the white version, one of the semi-purple. I don't even know what they're going to call it. It's kind of a light purple something. So we got white and purple. He hasn't showed pictures of the 3A XL, but I believe it's exactly the same, just bigger. It doesn't have a notch or anything. It's just the same exact phone, I believe. I mean, I guess the specs could be somewhat different, but either way, we think the Verizon exclusivity might be done with Pixel phones, maybe at least with this one. There's two reports that T-Mobile will carry it as well, and then T-Mobile might just pick up the regular 3 and 3 XL. So that's a pretty big deal. We're finally getting out of that Verizon exclusivity.
That's good.
I've got to say, like, these are the two least interesting Google products to have floated around the rumor mill in quite some time.
And why are they doing this? You know, recently, we learned via the data that Google Pixel line is doing very well in U.S. market share. In fact, I think it took over number 3.
Something like that.
So they did that without having budget devices, and yet here we are. Do they think that having these budget phones will give them more market share? You know, what's the play here? So hopefully at Google I.O. when they announce these things, they're going to explain. They aren't going to try and convince us at how cool these phones are because they're not very cool. Instead, they're going to say, this is why we're doing this. It's purely business. Don't trip about it. It's no big deal. Like, it, you know, if you're into our better phones, keep buying those. You don't want these. But why are they doing this? Like, what's the angle? What's the catch?
It's exactly what you just said. They need to move more volume to make more money to get more of the Google experience in front of everyone.
Sure.
And you do that with cheaper phones.
But
they're just not very fun.
The colors suck.
They're last year's design. 7 months later, like, if you wanted to launch a Pixel 3 budget, you should have launched it with the Pixel 3. Like, you should have given it to us then. So it's 7 months late. Like, when the Russians were leaking it, they should have sold it then. Get that holiday dollar, that, you know, like, move it then. So it'll be 7 months after the Pixel 3. It's mid-range-ish. You know, the specs aren't terrible, right? They're not flagship, and that's fine. You can make mid-range phones. There's nothing wrong with mid-range phones. There'll be mid-ranges. I'm sure the camera will probably be pretty good for a mid-range-ish phone. We like the software.
It better.
But the designs, you know, we've got bezels and stuff. They just look like the Pixel 3s that were released last year. They just don't look... It's not very fun. And then I think we're all worried that they're going to cost $500. And we're going to go, what? Ooh. You can't sell these for $500. They're old.
This is a $250 phone max.
I mean, even if it's like $354, it's probably okay. They've been discounting the Pixel 3 and 3 XL like crazy. Like, it's $200 off again this week. So if they bring these in at $500, they better always be $100 on sale or something.
Sure. If they say these phones weren't even really for the US, you know, they're for the emerging markets, I would get that so much more, and I think that's a good thing.
I don't know if they'll sell a bunch of these in the U.S. I'm trying to think. Like, U.S. people tend to go with the flagship stuff. They buy new iPhones all the time. They buy the new Samsung Galaxies and Notes. They buy the top tier guy. I know in other countries, like the Moto G7 in Brazil is like the highest selling phone probably of all time. Every year they bring it out. Here, though, I don't know that that's really the case. So, you know, it'll be worth a shot for Google, I guess, to do this.
Sure.
It's just, for me personally, just, I got like zero interest in these. We'll review them. They're Google phones. It's their first mid-range attempt.
Absolutely.
I was trying to think the other day, the Nexus 5, when it came out, pretty top tier. You know, Google wasn't skimping on specs when the Nexus 5 came out. How much did the Nexus 5, was it like $400 or something like that?
Had to be somewhere around there.
And I know that at the time, Google was just creating these developer-ish phones, and they were sort of reference designs in many ways, and they always tried to introduce something new that worked with Android, and they weren't trying to make a bunch of money off them, and that's why they were discounted. But like the Nexus 5, Nightfly says 350. That actually sounds about right. And that was like flagship level specs. They didn't cut a bunch of corners with that. And I really have a feeling this 3A thing is going to come in at like $500.
Don't say that.
I hope it's only like 420 or something, but I don't know that I believe Google will do that. We said that when the regular old Pixel, the original Pixel came out, we all went, that's like a $500 phone. And they're like, we want $650, $700. Everyone went, we're not paying that. No. They were like, we're making money. This is a flagship phone. And it had giant bezels. And everyone was like, what? Very odd.
Yeah. Han Solo says all this hate on the 3A. Tim and Killen will still buy it. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll get them into review, but yeah, there's no way in hell I'm going to use this thing on the
daily. I'm not going to rock it.
I'm still loving this guy right here. S10e fanboy. Love this phone.
That phone's for babies. Get a 10 plus ceramic.
I think it's way too. That's like a,
hasn't
that's
broken
a tablet.
Yet.
It's a tablet.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tablet, but oh, it's so sick.
The fingerprint reader on this S10e, though, is such garbage. I hate it so much. Oh, my God. I am fully anti-fingerprint reader in power button. Just, like, I think it was the Moto Z3 Play, maybe? Maybe both of them. They had a fingerprint reader on the side, which I loved, but they weren't in the power button. There was still a separate power button. Like, this thing, sometimes you just grab it, and, like, you reach across, you accidentally squeeze it and the, like, volume, and it takes a screenshot. And so, anyway, I'm off topic. The fingerprint reader in the S10e is absolutely trash.
Yeah, so
long. It is fast if you use it sometimes.
Yeah.
If it reads. And then sometimes I find myself doing this move right here where I just tap my finger on it like four times until it reads it. And it seems fast, sure. It's very finicky. It drives me insane. I think it mostly because it's in the power button.
Silwonk says, you guys don't use the Pixel 3 anymore because of all the problems with it. LOL. I don't use mine because I flashed Android Q to it, and Android Q is boring. Yeah. And like, yeah, it's got its own set of things going on that I don't want to deal with. So that's why I'm not using my Pixel 3. But once Android Q is like, you know, popping, probably after I/O when they got a new build out, I'll probably start using it again just to make sure I'm comfortable with Q and I can talk about it and not sound like a moron. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, on my desk right here, I have four phones. Two S10Es, a Pixel 3 XL, and a Pixel 3. So it's right. The Pixels are right there. And my Verizon SIM is in the Pixel 3. But like Tim just said, Android Q's kind of janky. I don't really like where it's at right now. So I'm not using it because of the problems. I'm not using it because it's a little janky, still like the S10e.
So Wonk says, are you guys going to I/O? Yeah, Kellen's going to be there sure. Scott Washington says, come on, Tim, just use Q, submit your daily bug reports like everyone else. Yeah, I refuse to do that. I already have a job. Unless Google wants to start paying. Who's got that kind of time? Like, you know, I appreciate people's passion, but I am not going to submit myself to that. That's ridiculous. No way. I want my phone to be smooth, like, and just work. I don't want to deal with bugs.
There are times when I don't mind being a beta tester, but there's something about Q that I just... It seems like where they're going with it, like the features I want aren't there, like night mode and things like those aren't there yet.
Yeah.
You know, they pissed me off with that swipe away of the fingerprint or of the notification.
Oh, you were over it.
Which I know, like, they allow me to change now, but that pissed me off. There's just some things that I don't love about Q at the moment that I think will get fixed when it gets a little more stable. So it's sitting there looking at me. Speaking of this,
Totally.
The case maker sent me this today. It's their leather, super thin one. Look at that thing. It's hella thin. Might do a write-up.
Totally's totally hot. They were in my video. I didn't get any cases that fit my phone, but...
That's rough.
Yeah. Really super thin cases. They seem awesome though. Right now, I'm using that Crucial, kind of like a OnePlus, the sand paper or whatever. But man, it's super nice. Adds a bit of grip to this slippery Galaxy S10. Not bad.
I know. I'm still using this Spigen case on this thing because I already broke one. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, completely off topic. 3A is coming May 7th. We don't know the price. Totally. We don't know the full spec sheet there. 1080p displays, nothing like that. I think 4 gig RAM, some storage, purple. They'll probably be okay for someone who just wants a Google experience and doesn't want to spend the $800, except that they're always discounted again on Google Store, the Pixel 3 and 3 XL. So I just hope Google prices them at like $400, and then we won't have to complain about price, and then people just use them for what they are, probably decent Google phones that have lots of bugs.
Yeah, I just want to talk to Scott McDonald here on a personal level real quick. He says, isn't your job tech reviewer and blogger? Seems testing new versions of OS would be part of that. No, dude, I don't work for Google. Like, I review smartphones and talk about news, Verizon, Google, and stuff. I'm like not a beta tester for Google. That's not my job. So, nope, I don't do it. Like, I flash it, and I say, no one else should run this. And that's the extent of it.
Yeah, so. we're not we've never really been big on the pointing out every little bug that comes across. Like, that's just not our focus.
There are other people who do that, and props to them, because you know they find those problems and then Google can end up fixing it. Oh, thank goodness for those people. I don't want to do that. Yeah. And I know you're trolling, Scott. Should. Don't worry about it. It's not personal. We love you.
Maybe we should someday become bug aficionados.
Oh, pull up the old what is that, the Android SDK on my MacBook and start decrypting. I don't have the energy, dude.
Tim, I do have the SDK though, and I do mess around a little bit, but yeah, I'm not ready for the
I can flash
for the beta testing
a .img file. I mean, I know my way around ADB. But
.slash, yep.
Yeah.
All right, so May 7th, that's soon. So May 7th is I.O. As Tim mentioned, I will be at I.O. We'll see what happens at I.O. We'll get a new build of Android Q. We'll get the Pixel 3a, 3xl. We'll probably get a Nest Hub and a Nest Hub Max. There's actually going to be a lot probably going on at I.O.
Kind of
then,
exciting.
Yeah, and then the following week is OnePlus. So it should be a good couple of weeks. Like right now, we're kind of in this only thing to talk about is the death of the Galaxy Fold, but we're about to get new phones and another build Android Q, which is always great. And typically the I.O. build of whatever the Android is a good one. Like, they usually throw out all the features. Like, I think last year's when we got the gesture navigation. So we'll get updates there. It'll be good. I.O. will be fun. We're like 10 days from that or something.
I just had, like, well, thanks to Ben Jacobs. Ben, I will split the profits with you. Of course, this one's going to be a seller. This might be the million-dollar idea, buddy. So you can't spell DAB without ADB. And it's going to be targeted to developers and all that, and there's going to be some dude dabbing on the shirt or whatever. It's just going to be a plane. Like, you can't spell
DAB without ADB. You're going to bring a box of those to I.O.? Just sell them outside of I.O.? You can't spell ADB
without
a DAB. 20 bucks
a pop, man. I love it. Like, that's awesome. That's a great t-shirt idea. So, thank you, Ben Jacobs. I'm rich.
Always got it. Before we move on, Scott Washington dropped $3 set. I won't be outdone by other Scott. Oh, that's a challenge. Oh, that sounds like a challenge. Thank you, Scott Washington, for the $3. There's a lot of Scots today.
So many Scots.
Somebody just brought up CyanogenMod.
Do you even CyanogenMod, bro? Used to.
Many thoughts and opinions on CyanogenMod, but we'll save those.
Oh, we could do a whole show. If we have no topics to talk about, we could just talk about CyanogenMod. They're close. They were right up in Seattle.
They were
neighbors.
They sure were. Yeah, CyanogenMod, good times there. All right, let's talk about 5G for a couple of minutes, and we'll get to trivia. Oh, yeah, we're almost about an hour in. So Verizon 5G, they have expanded. Actually, they haven't quite expanded yet. They told us they're going to expand to 20 new markets, 20 new cities. They've given us a list of those. They didn't say when it's going to happen. They just said, here, homies, here's the next 20. It's places like San Diego and Kansas City and Dallas and Houston. And you can go to the site and look at the list. But we know 20 of the next ones. Still only active in Chicago and Minneapolis. They said 30 by the end of the year. So we now know 22 of the 30. Yeah, thanks, Verizon. That said, they announced the Galaxy S10 5G. Finally, pricing, availability. It's up for pre-order right now if you want one. There is a 256 gig version that costs $1,299.99. That is $1,300, yes. And then there's a 512 gig version that'll cost you $1,399.99. That's $1,400. Or, you know, $54 a month for 24 months. Good Lord. It comes in black or silver. Silver looks really, really hot, by the way. Just remember that this phone is massive. I was making fun of Tim's Tablet Plus. This is a tablet.
This is the big boy.
6.7 inch display. I think it's got 12 gig RAM or something. I can't even keep track of how many variants of the Galaxy S10 there is. But 6.7 inch display, 4,500 milliamp hour battery, the quad camera. It's probably the quad camera we'll see in the Note 10, more than likely. So it's got all the stuff. No SD slot though, so I guess it doesn't really have all the stuff. $1,300, good Lord. You should not buy this phone. There's no 5G anywhere. It's barely in Chicago and Minneapolis. Oh, yeah. And you would spend $1,300 minimum on this 5G phone that's going to struggle to ever find a 5G connection.
I want to buy this phone. If you're interested in this phone because you want the quad camera, you want that bigger, whatever, just wait for the Note 10. This thing is the Note 10, except the Note's going to have an S Pen. That's basically all there is to it.
Yeah,
and so, probably going to come in these same colors, plus another one. Like, it's, I swear, it's probably going to be the same thing.
And Verizon already confirmed that the Note 10 will have 5G. We don't know if that's a separate model or one model what, but the Note 10 will be a 5G phone. And it'll also probably be the 5G phone that works across multiple 5G bands, not just millimeter wave, which is what this phone does, as far as I know.
It's totally useless.
So you should...
5G indoors, no 5G.
Yes. Yeah, if you just want... I actually love that you could like stand outside and have like a gig connection to your phone and then just like move inside a window which is clear and just goes like back down to like 4G, lowly 4G. But yeah, as you mentioned, if you just want a 6.7 inch giant Galaxy S10 with a quad camera and all the goods, sure, spend $1,300.
It looks hot. I mean, that white color, whatever they're calling it,
crystal silver, no, crown silver, sorry. Ooh.
It's smoking. It's smoking hot.
It is actually pretty hot.
Yeah.
All right, so they announced that pre-order. It'll eventually come to AT&T, I believe, but Verizon has a little bit exclusive on there.
Naturally.
Speaking of 5G, though, AT&T announced, well, basically, they didn't really announce this, but they had a quarterly earnings call. Everyone had quarterly earnings calls this week. Verizon reported a loss in customers, by the way. That's not good when you lose customers. AT&T barely reported that they added some. But during their earnings call, their CEO, Randall Stephenson, said, just wait, in 2 to 3 years, we will we'll basically have pricing of data plan tiers like you see with home internet tiers. So like Comcast, for example, I pay for gig internet, and I have to pay a lot of money for that. But I could drop it down to like $250 down, or I could buy... $50 down or $30 down or whatever, right? There's pricing tiers depending on your speeds. And AT&T CEO says that's how 5G is going to work. Like once we have 5G everywhere and we think it's actually fast and not just hotspot crap in cities, they're going to charge you depending on how fast you want your 5G. That's not going to be good. I don't really think. AT&T's been pretty vocal about trying to figure out ways to nickel and dime everyone in 5G.
Yeah.
You know, like we knew that the carriers would probably do this because they did this at the beginning of 4G LTE. But AT&T is like, yeah, we're figuring out all the ways to nickel and dime you. Look, like speeds are fun and paying for speeds. Like I pay for gig internet at my house because I like having the speeds for work and video and doing all the stuff and all the stuff I stream across my house. So I don't mind having to pay for it. But on your cell phone, in a wireless setting, I don't know that I ever rely. I mean, you know, like at my house, I complain about how Verizon has crap service. if I drive 1 mile down this hill over here to where there's like a Papa Murphy's, I get like 90 down on a Verizon tower because there's obviously like a tower at the bottom of this hill. But right here, I get like 4 down in my house. So you're going to charge people tiers? Like, what if the coverage sucks? So it's very weird. Like, for my cable internet, I have like a line right behind my desk that comes into my house. There's my internet. Like, I know that I'm going to get those speeds all the time. Wireless, I've never felt that was that stable. So I don't really like that idea. And the fact that they always price these tiers to get you to like go to the next tier. Like, Verizon has 3 unlimited plans. That's because they're all limited in ways that get you to upgrade to the next tier. So they're all sneaky a-holes. This is a terrible idea. And they'll all do it, by the way.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I'm passionate about the carrier pricing stuff. Has always been something that just drives, that I love telling them they're terrible about.
Yep. Well, they are.
Yes, they are.
Real quick before we get into trivia, sure. We had a $5 donation from the lovely Scott McDonald. Thank you so much for that $5 dono.
Oh, the battle is on. The 3 Scots have all donated.
Yeah. Who's going to win? It's not a competition. It's not a competition, though.
Thank you, though, Scott McDonald, for the $5. Appreciate that.
Sweet.
That's all I got for topics.
Trivia, I guess, time? Yeah. If anyone wants to win a lifetime Plex pass, now's the time.
Now is the time. All right, it's trivia time. A little trivia dance. Trivia. For those new around here, at the end of every show, we do deal show trivia. 5 questions. We'll give 5 people prizes who answer correctly. So 1 person wins the first question, second, you know, so on down the thing. You can only win once per show, but come back every week. We'll give away prizes every single week if you answer first. So we put a question up. Tim reads it. You can also read it off the screen. If you're listening live, that's the only way you can actually play. I mean, like I said last week, I think you play along with family and friends at home if you want afterwards when we're not live and give each other prizes or something. But listening live on the YouTube channel, in the chat, first to answer the question correctly once we put it up and Tim reads it, you win. And we just look at our screen, and if you're first on our screen, we'll tell you, and then we give you a prize. It's very simple.
Yeah. Yeah, there's never paying for shipping or anything like that. We handle it all, so don't worry. And especially with this prize, it's a digital thing. So
people have tried to bribe us.
Doesn't work for us.
No, it doesn't.
I need some stunner shades, man. I feel like I'm in the club.
You really are in the trivia club. The DL Show Trivia Club.
Hate the club.
So 5 questions. And you get lifetime passes to Plex Premium. $120 value. Again, Plex is your media server if you want it to be. It'll host your videos, music, photos, all that good stuff. And depending on what you have in your house or on your phone, you can have that stuff play everywhere. It's a fabulous service. Again, I used to use it a lot. I just don't anymore. But I used to subscribe. I think I actually bought a lifetime subscription at one point, or they gave me one. I can't remember. They're nice guys over there, Plex.
Plex is great. We met up with them at CES that one time. Got the group photo. That was awesome.
Yeah, they are
great. Got some Plex flip flops.
Fun crew over there, Plex.
Fun crew. Yep. They have too much fun. All right, let's start it off with question number one.
All right,
please.
Question number one. The answer is not 12. Question number one is going up now.
What year did the R2-D2 Droid 2 launch? Again, what year did the R2-D2 Droid 2 launch? Recently did a Throwback Thursday for this device. It was awesome.
Is that Evan Brown?
Yes, I did see the correct answer. From Evan Brown, the correct answer of 2010. Late 2010. Evan Brown. Woo! Nice job, congratulations. Evan Brown.
2010.
Evan Brown, you just got hooked up with a sweet lifetime pass to Plex Pass. Congratulations.
Good stuff.
All right. Question number two, please.
Question number two is up now.
Easy one. How much is the least expensive model of the Galaxy S10 5G? We literally just talked about this. How much is the least expensive model of the Galaxy S10 5G?
Ooh, I think Clinton's got that one.
Let's find out. Yeah, Clinton Roche with $1,300. Yep, so $1,299. We are accepting $1,300. Clinton, congratulations.
Accepting either number there.
Yeah.
$1,300 or $1,299. Clinton was first with $1,300. Travis Chafin, you were right there. Right. $12.99. Nick Fisher, you were right there too, but Clinton jumped to the top there.
These guys are speedy. Speedy
fast,
today.
Fast questions today.
Yep. All right. Question number three, please.
Question number three is up right now.
Which number did OnePlus skip when building its flagship phone in 2017? So as you know, OnePlus 2,
oh, Jesus, Warsaw 3. Was quick with that.
Oh, yeah, Warsaw with the correct answer of 4. Yes, the OnePlus 4, which did not exist. Congratulations, Warsaw.
Warsaw's got that elite connection. You barely finished the question. Warsaw with 4. Scott Washington right behind him with a 4. Nick Fisher also there. But Warsaw with the quick 4.
They that did, was intense.
They did indeed skip the OnePlus 4.
Yes, they did. Awesome. All right, there's no way anyone can be fast with this next one. You're going to have to. I mean, if anyone knows this off the top of their head, I mean, you deserve the prize, obviously, but damn. All right, yep. Question number 4, please.
All right, question number 4 is up now.
What size display did the original Galaxy View tablet have? If you'll recall, AT&T, Samsung released this Galaxy View as a large thing. They just released the second one, but what size display did the original one have?
Nick Fisher have that already?
Yeah, Nick Fisher with 18.4. Correct answer. What's wrong with you people? That's crazy. I really hope he Googled that, because if someone's keeping that information in their brain.
Yeah, Nick, know that? That was fairly quick.
18.4?
Off the top of my head.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we were kind of talking about that device this week, so.
Sure, it's possible.
Could be fresh.
Congratulations, Nick Fisher. All right. Big time winner. All right. So, last question. This one's probably kind of an easy one, too, but let's go. Question number 5.
Question number 5 is up now.
Besides the Galaxy Fold, what other phone did Samsung have a major PR nightmare with? Tick, 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 tick. Clock's ticking. How Besides the Galaxy Fold, what other phone? Yes. So, Zachary Webb with the correct answer, the Note 7, Note of course. 7.
Of course.
Of course.
Brandon Fisher right there. Zach Webb on top. Note 7.
Zachary Webb, congratulations.
Mr. Sandman, you're going to get banned, bro.
Bye, Felicia. I didn't see it. Anyway, yeah, he's congratulations,
doing the,
Zachary Webb.
PewDiePie spam thing. It's just annoying.
Oh. Poor PewDiePie. So our winners again, Evan Brown, Clinton Roche, Warsaw, Nick Fisher, Zachary Webb. Mm-hmm. If you are a winner this week, please email me. I'm going to put my email in the chat right now. You'll email me. So I'll go over the instructions later. But if you don't already have a Plex account, we'll get you set up with one. They'll upgrade it to a lifetime, etc. Super easy peasy. Just email me. We'll get you hooked up. And then you're off to the Plex promised land.
Plex for life. Plex for life. Awesome. All right. So next week, it's kind of a normal week, but then after that, it's going to get wild. IO for a week. OnePlus for a week. So next week, normal week, probably, mostly. And then all sorts of stuff. I think we'll be back next week. We're going to have lots of stuff to talk about for a while. Trivia will always be back. All that stuff. I'm assuming everyone except me is going to see that one movie this weekend. Trevor McGrath, $6.32, said, "Here is money." Appreciate that. I love like the perfect 632 number. I don't know if that means something, but $6.32 is perfect.
Maybe it does.
Rick dropped $2. Says, "Thanks for a good show, guys." Thank you, Rick. Thanks for hanging out with us every Friday.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the Blazers. Man.
Oh my God, we didn't talk about the Blazers. Dude. Damn. Oh, yeah. All right. Quick Blazer talk.
Okay, quick.
All right. Damian Lillard is God level right now. MVP of the playoffs right now. If you're an OKC fan, I don't feel one bit of sadness for you because Russell Westbrook is on your team. You have to cheer for him. So, stick you out in 5. That's all.
It was kind of ridiculous. I mean, I was sitting there. I know you were at DMX, so you've got your own probably awesome story about it. But, I mean, I was just sitting here. It was not looking good, right? We're down 15 in the fourth. I was like, man, we're going to have to go back to OKC and try and win it there. Because if you go to a game seven, the pressure's on you. You know, you're at home. You got to perform. So you just don't want to go there. Dame, I mean, everything happened. Nurk comes out of the locker room. And you could, like, feel this energy through the TV. You're just watching. You could tell Moda Center was going crazy. And then they catch up. And then finally, and Dame took the shot from 27?
37.
37? Yeah.
And just waves him off.
It was ridiculous. It was one of the greatest sporting moments I've ever witnessed in my life. 30 years of living. I mean, that was impressive. Dame was on another level. He was out of his mind. It was crazy.
Fabulous.
And you saw DMX.
Yeah. The Blazers were in town at OKC. I was actually at a DMX concert. Yes, like that DMX. The one from like the 90s, who's like 50 now. Did you know that DMX is like 50 now?
50?
Yeah. I was at DMX, and what's weird is he didn't have an opening act because he's DMX. So his opening act was DJ OG1, who's actually the Blazers in-arena DJ. And so we kept wondering, being like, oh, DJ OG1's going to just cancel on DMX. He's got to be at the playoff game. No, DJ OG1 actually was there. And DMX was waiting until the game ended because, like, the whole crowd was packed in the downstairs bar watching the game, not caring. And poor DJ OG1, who probably would have rather been at the game, is just standing on stage spinning, like, 90s hip-hop going, please, just can we get this over with? The Blazers are playing. Poor guy. Anyway, we all went wild in the bar at the DMX show.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and yes, Travis, he did play Rough Riders. Just a little bit of Rough Riders. He was just whipping through the hits.
He's got to. I mean,
he's 50, dude. DMX is 50.
He's 48, he's technically. 48,
yeah.
Almost 50.
Pretty great.
He looks good for his age.
Patty, I'm not saying 50's bad. I'm just saying, like, for a rapper to run around on stage and still act really hard, it's just a little weird.
Jay-Z does it. He's 49. He's older.
And he's definitely not hard. Like, DMX, like, at least is always in trouble, so it kind of fits, like, the persona. But it was something.
All these guys about the same age, which is actually kind of interesting. You know, Snoop Dogg, 47. Busta Rhymes, 46. Kind of crazy. All right. So before we shut it down, we got some big bomb donuts.
We do. Clinton dropped $2, says, for shipping. Mr. Sandman dropped $1. And then Warsaw just dropped a huge 20 and said beers on me this weekend. Warsaw, you yes, beast. Sir. You crazy. Thank you so much for that.
You guys are just killing
it. That's a lot of donos again today. You guys are crazy. We really appreciate all that support.
Absolutely.
Big time. Brady says he's 46. It's not the age thing that I'm saying is the bad thing. It's the age combined with being a rapper and doing the old hits, yeah. I mean, I love, like, DMX is like, that was like my high school prime was like DMX, but it was a little weird. He was still fine though. You know, it is what it is.
Mr. Sandman comes back with another buck. David with the Fire Festival will be back. $2 bomb.
Fire Festival.
And that brings up Ja Rule. How old is Ja Rule? I mean, that dude.
He's got to be up there too. Forgot about that. He was also in that prime.
He's only 43. He's a young pup.
Young pup.
Poor guy. I used to Murder Inc. I mean, dude, I was in like 7th grade, 8th grade. I was loving that stuff.
Yeah, I've been going through all the old hits. Like, DMX got me on like going back through them, all the old ones. Anyways. All right, we'll stop just rambling. We're talking about whatever at this point. Go see Endgame if you want. That is what it's called, right?
Yes, Endgame. I'll see it tonight. We can all discuss spoilers and stuff next show.
I'll try to go watch it. I hadn't planned to, but I'll try to so that we could maybe talk about it or something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to you if you want to be like with the pop culture, or you could just stay in your old man lane and go watch DMX at 50 and, you know, do your thing. That's cool.
It'll totally be me. I'll walk in the theater and be like, dude, you're kind of old. Are you supposed to be here? You should just wait till this comes on Netflix, bro.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll try to watch it at some point. I'll probably go by myself on like a Tuesday.
There you go.
All right, thanks for joining us, everyone. Really, really appreciate all the huge amounts of donations from all you guys. I hope you have a fabulous weekend. Be safe out there. Enjoy that.
Peace.